I am going to go ahead and get call to order the meeting of Faculty Senate on Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Pat, do we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum.
Great. So our next item up is the adoption of the agenda for today's meeting. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda? George first, second, thank you. All in favor of adopting the agenda for today's meeting, please say aye. Opposed? All right, great. We've got an agenda. Item four is approval of the minutes from the April 24th, 2024 meeting. We've got a motion from Felicia. I have a second to approve the minutes. Thank you, Cynthia. Any discussion, deletion, edits? Right. Seeing none. All in favor of approving the April 24th, 2024 minutes, please say aye. Opposed and abstain. All right, we have an abstain from Jeff. All right, that brings us to item, or I guess our minutes are approved. That brings us to item five, public comment. Pat, has anybody submitted a public comment?
No public comments today.
Great. So that brings us to the Faculty Senate President's announcements. First, I want to just welcome everybody to the first meeting of the Faculty Senate for this academic year. I want to thank each of you for your willingness to serve in this capacity. To serve in shared governance, and it really does represent the ideal of how working collaboratively on shared changes, topics, and priorities can improve our institution in the short term, and also in building that vibrant, inclusive, engaging institution we all want to contribute to in the long run. I want to say a particular thank you to those who are first year on Faculty Senate. I welcome you, and I would love to get to know you. So if I haven't had a chance to meet you, I know I've met some of you, please do reach out, and I look forward to getting to know you better. And also, I'd like to say thank you to all those returning members, whether it's your second or third year, or second or third or fourth term on this body. The work that we do here, I do think, moves our university forward. And while we do have a full agenda for today, I did want to cover a few core themes for the upcoming year. And the first thing I want to do is share a brief orientation, if you will, to this body, to the Faculty Senate and the role it plays on campus. So Pat's got some slides up here. I'll share these out afterwards, so don't feel like taking screenshots unless you really want to or anything like that. I don't think it's that important what's up here. But first, I just want to define these two key terms. You can read them on the screen, but really, to me, it's this idea. Shared governance is the idea that a healthy functioning university is the responsibility of everybody on campus. That's faculty, administration, staff, students, and the Board of Trustees. Each of the groups has defined roles and responsibilities to play. They have areas that are in their direct control. There are areas that they can inform or contribute to. And for a university to function at a high level or in a good manner, there's a need for coordination, collaboration, and communication amongst all the groups, all the roles, all the responsibilities, so that the decisions and changes are aligned and respect the responsibilities and expertise of the various groups on campus. So essentially, so that we're working together through shared definitions of roles and responsibilities. But this doesn't mean that all expertise resides within one position or one person or one body. And that's where the idea of shared leadership comes into play. There's across campus, there's pockets of knowledge and expertise and perspective that need to be brought in. For instance, just because curriculum is an area this body has direct oversight over doesn't mean that only faculty centers ought to be engaged in the conversations and the deliberations and the conversations about what to do with curriculum. I can do that. Perfect. So when we look at what the role of Faculty Senate is within shared governance here at NIU, you can read the bylaws if you want to. You can go through these things, click through them, or on the website. But the way I understand Faculty Senate's role here on campus is there's several key duties that are outlined in the Constitution and the bylaws that we operate within. To me, the direct authority that is given to Faculty Senate comes from our university constitution, and it places within Faculty Senate the academic core of the institution. We in this body oversee a lot of the academic core of the institution. Faculty Senate bylaw Article 7 lays out the duties of Faculty Senate. And within that article, there's a few key takeaways, with the overarching thing being this idea that Faculty Senate operates within shared governance and within shared leadership model, in order to fulfill those duties. And really, those can be condensed into these policy decisions related to the academic core of the university, so that the faculty personnel system, curriculum, and academic policies, to inform other bodies on campus of faculty senate's perspectives, and to ensure and contribute to the continued health and direction of the university. So how does it do it? It does this work through its bodies, both the standing committees. They're outlined in Article 3. I'm not going to go through what all of them do. You can find that. I've shared an email as we try to recruit folks into these different committees. And then also through the academic councils and other committees outlined in Article 4 Faculty Senate bylaws. And these are the ones that are directly tied to things like curriculum development, instructional program, and so forth. Visually, what you can see, and it's important for me, and so therefore I'm going to make it at least for a couple seconds important to you, is to see how everything rolls up into Faculty Senate. So Faculty Senate is given the ultimate authority through the Constitution for the academic core of the institution. It delegates out authority to these standing committees: Personnel Committee, Social Justice Committee, Steering Committee, and the Rights and Responsibilities Committee. And then the academic committees all also flow up through Faculty Senate. So this includes the Baccalaureate Council, the Graduate Council, and so forth. And so this is just to understand that curricular changes are, it's the faculty own that, in, for lack of better words, but that flows up through us, whether that's the graduate level or the undergraduate level. Curricular changes and so forth ultimately gain their authority from the faculty, from the Faculty Senate. And I think that's an important thing to note. So what do we do? Well, you can read this, but it's just another way to share out what I mentioned at the beginning about kind of what the duties and responsibilities boil down to. Generally, the Faculty Senate's bodies all play similar roles, whether that's the full body here or the committees or councils that operate underneath the Faculty Senate umbrella. And the roles that they play is they engage with other groups and shared governance bodies on campus, both within the Faculty Senate, but also outside the Faculty Senate, in university council, in senior leadership, and different advisory groups on campus. They create policies and procedures related to the academic core of the institution, or make recommendations to the Faculty Senate to create those policies and procedures. And ultimately, they all contribute to the continued health and direction of NIU. So this is all a very, I don't know how we turn that off, but holistically, that's just a very brief orientation to the role this body plays and its committees play. And my hope is that we all see our roles on campus as stewards of the university, as advocates for our role, but also for the health of the university, for our students, for our staff, for our faculty, and for campus as a whole. The second set of things I want to talk about is related to what I started doing last year in this body, and that is, after every meeting, I will be sharing out a summary of this meeting, the resources, the topics that were covered, so that you can take that back to your constituents, so that we can share that information out with campus. Similarly, another thing I started last year, I'll continue, is surveys of faculty senators. My hope is that you will take the survey, go to your constituent group, learn from that group, and then fill out a quick two to five minute survey, depending on the topic, that shares that information back with me. And what that will do is it'll help me develop our agendas for these meetings. It'll help me advocate in my one-on-one conversations, or give charges to different bodies on within our jurisdiction, to make sure we're doing good work that's aligned with with campus. What you'll see from me soon is there are a number of important working groups and conversations ongoing across campus that will, some of these include continuing to look at our tenure and promotion policies and pick back up some of the work that was left to the side for the moment as we made the changes last year to our tenure promotion system. Engaging in conversations around artificial intelligence and how we can better support faculty and students' use and understanding of the tools, transdisciplinary work, and so on. And I'll be sharing ways that faculty senators and other faculty members can get involved in some of these conversations across campus. So do look for a communication from me. And I do hope that you all see that as part of our identity, part of our responsibilities, part of what we should be doing to live into our positions as faculty members, as staff, and as students on campus. And the hope is that through all of these efforts, we can continue to contribute and collaboratively work to meet university goals, fulfill our personal and professional goals, and create that campus that works well for all Huskies. So in summary, welcome back. I'm really excited to be working with you all this year. I hope your semesters are off to a great start. And please do reach out to me. Look for meeting times with me. I've got in my signature, you can find Faculty Senate office hours if you want to speak with me about a topic. But I just welcome you all and look forward to the work going forward for this year. That's what I have for my announcements, which brings us to item 7, which are our provost announcements. So I'd like to invite up Provost Elish Piper.
Okay, good afternoon. I echo Ben's comments in welcoming everybody back and hope that your fall semester is off to a great start. I want to share a quick update. You may have seen the email that came out last week about our Higher Learning Commission reaccreditation, but I wanted to take a moment in case you did not see that email to let you know that we did receive notification this summer that we were reaccredited for 10 years, which is the maximum allowable time. So that's great news. There are 5 criteria on which we were evaluated, and under them, there were 18 specific competencies or specific core areas, and 17 of the 18 we met fully. One we met with concerns, which was probably not a surprise to anyone. We have to submit interim reporting on our finances to show that we're implementing the plan that was approved by the Board of Trustees and that we're making progress in terms of closing our budget deficit. And that needs to be submitted in October of 2026. But a real cause for celebration. And just want to give you a few stats. We had over 700 pieces of evidence that we submitted with our assurance argument. So I'm sure many of you contributed pieces of evidence, so thank you for that. And we had over 100 campus and community members who participated in the on-campus meetings that took place in March. And so again, many of you in this room probably participated, so thank you for that. Also just want to draw your attention to the fact that the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning has some new programs that they've added to their offerings that might be of interest. They're offering one that's looking at how to handle those hot button moments in classrooms, some of those politically charged topics that might bubble up, or divisive comments that might create an uncomfortable context in the classroom. So they're doing a workshop on that topic. They're also doing workshops related to supporting first-gen students. And we know with our enrollment that we enroll more and more first-generation students. So that can be a really helpful workshop to consider. And then also they're offering a workshop on welcome to what's new in AI. So if you haven't looked at their website lately, they have a wide array of offerings, but I wanted to highlight those specific 3 that were newly added to their programming. So that's all that I have for you today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Lori. All right. So that then brings us up to item 8, which are items for Faculty Senate consideration. The first presentation that we'll have is from Michaela Holtz, who's the Executive Director of Student Affairs Central, and she'll be sharing information about Huskies Vote.
Okay, well, good afternoon, and I appreciate to have an opportunity to share this initiative with you and just some programming we're planning for this fall, along with some resources for faculty that they can utilize in the classroom when we talk about voter engagement with our students. But So Huskies Vote is specifically an IU initiative that focuses on voter engagement. We are have been doing a Huskies Vote initiative probably since 2018, and it was part of the All in Democracy Challenge. And All in Campus Democracy Challenge is a national nonpartisan organization that is providing institutions with a benchmarking and opportunity to be recognized as campuses who are doing this work. And so we are currently a highly established campus under All in Democracy Challenge, but they also are great partners and supporters of our work. They are providing us with a whole slew of resources that are available to students, to faculty, to staff that are running this initiative, and also those that just want to make sure that students know what to do and doing it in a nonpartisan way. Also, part of the Huskies vote and something that NIU has been involved with actually even prior to All in Democracy Challenge is participating in a national study on learning, voting, and engagement, which allows us to actually receive data on voting participation of our students. I'm sharing with you the 2020 report because that was the presidential election year. On our website, and actually if you want to get a quick access to the website, you can just scan the QR code of the postcards that are on your tables, or you can just go to go.niu.edu/huskies-vote. Has all of the reports that we have ever received published. It allows us to see how many of eligible students are registered to vote, and then also looking at our voting turnout rates. This is also a report that we use, and that's another part of being involved with the All in Democracy Challenge. Every year, we actually develop an action plan that allows us, that's a dynamic kind of document for us to utilize to establish some short-term and long-term goals on where we want to be with this initiative, and we set a specific expectations or how many students we wanted to be to that are registered and how many students turn out to vote. One of the things that I think we're looking at this year is that we have a pretty high registration vote for our students, but when we looked at our 2022 data, we are kind of in line with other institutions or the national data across the country with students not turning out to vote at the high rates. We are about at 30% for 2022. The rates in 2020 were obviously higher, and I think there is an expectation that students are really engaged, and we might see some large numbers of students to actually turn out to vote. One of the things that I think is prohibiting students to do that is if they register to vote but they don't know where's their polling place or how to research the ballot. And that's when we come in, and I also am reaching out to you as a faculty. I think you see students day in and day out, and I think that that's a perfect way to share with students the resources that they can utilize to find out the proper information and research the ballot and so on. So what are some of the ways that faculty can do that? And actually, I don't know, some of you might have seen the piece in the most recent Provost newsletter that talked about specific ways that faculty can support this work in the classroom. On our website, on their resources tab is a broad faculty resource guide on ways to specific language, template of a language that could be included in a syllabus or that could be shared with students as a slide on Blackboard or shared in the classroom. There are ways to, there's specific Huskies Point PowerPoint that has important dates and information on that you can just pull up in the classroom if you want to, and you don't have to develop anything specific or something new. Setting aside a time in the classroom for students to maybe take time to register to vote and explaining what they need. Often it takes just a few minutes for registering to vote online. One of the things that through the conversations with our partners at the DeKalb Clerk's office and also nonpartisan organization League of Female Voters, we know that students might say that they are registered to vote, but not all of them realize that if they moved, which majority of our students move every semester, they need to update their registration. So when you're talking to students, you know, we say don't just ask are you registered to vote, but have you moved? Even if it's just down the hall in a residence hall, if you want to vote, you need to update your voter registration. So it's sometimes just asking those questions and asking the right questions. If you are interested to hold a conversation in the classroom, on the resource guide on the website, there are a lot of resources that have been already developed by the experts that are nonpartisan and are there for faculty specifically to use in their classrooms, even specific by field and discipline. So I encourage you to, if you're interested, peruse through those resources and consider some of them as you are leading those conversations in the classroom. If you are interested to have someone to come and speak to your class, that's also something that we offer. I am talking to several classes in the next few weeks. And so it's a quick 5-minute information for students to know. I just wanted to include this as a, you don't have to remember all of the dates, but I think it's just important that for everybody to realize that the online registration for voting ends October 20th. And so we're focusing on efforts on voter registration up until that point. October 21st is actually when the early voting is open here in Home Student Center. Early voting in Illinois starts earlier, but in Home Student Center will be an early voting site from October 21st till November 1st. And so either you yourself could utilize this as a polling place if you are in DeKalb County, but letting students know that as they're making decisions and they are in a unique position to make a decision where they want to vote, whether it's their hometown or in DeKalb, that they have an opportunity to do it early before the election day. And then I just wanted to, this is literally just a screenshot from the website. If you are interested to bring this information in the classroom, it could be as simple as pulling up the website and letting students know that there are resources. This website has the information about voting in Illinois, but also for students that are out of state and that they want to vote in their hometowns, how to go about that. The calendar on the website, it is being continuously updated with events that are happening on campus that we're planning, finalizing some of them with the confirmation of presidential debate recently, you know, basically as we speak. So. And then I just wanted to give you a preview of some of the main programming that we're planning for fall. There are more smaller events or voter registration drives, but I wanted to highlight that next week we are going to be hosting a presidential debate watch party in Home Student Center Husky Den, which is the area in a lower level by the bowling area. We are going to have a small panel that will discuss just kind of the principles of the debate and some of the ways that maybe suggestions of what to watch for if you are watching a presidential debate, maybe for the first time for some of the students. September 17 is a National Voter Registration Day, so we're going to have a slew of tabling and voter registration drives in a central campus at MLK Commons, but also in some of the buildings and dining halls on campus. If I have a call for volunteers for any of you that might be registrars or who just want to volunteer to help out at the end, but this would be exactly the type of event we need some help and volunteers for. Food Truck Wednesdays. So I actually just spent a couple of hours today outside talking to students during the student involvement fair about Husky's Vote, but it's also today a Food Truck Wednesday. There are three dates for Food Truck Wednesdays coming up. As you can see, that would also have, we'll have a DeKalb clerk in place and election judges that are spending their time coming to campus and helping our students to register to vote. Our students really only need their phone, their photo ID, and they can show their Maya Bursa's office to prove the address, and then they can register or update their registration. So it's a quick process, and that's a great way and easy access way for them to do it. There are series, Civic Action Hour series planned for September 18 and then two in October that will be highlighted with more details as well. But I just wanted to put those to your, bring those to your attention. And then the week of October 28, we're planning a large march to the polls with students in partnership with athletics, marching band, our fraternity sorority life and student government association, and some of the cultural centers in the ADI division. And so that is an event that would allow students to just in a celebratory way to come together and be able to talk, encourage each other to vote, find information about what's on the ballot. And then we're going to be helping students to walk into the early voting place in Home Student Center to actually vote early. And I'm happy to take any questions, and if you are interested to volunteer and or would like to be informed about programming that we do, feel free to scan the QR code and just provide me with your name and email so you could be on that listserv. Thank you. Oh, and on the tables, there are also stickers. So if you are a sticker person and you want some laptop and water bottle stickers, please feel free to use those. And I have more over here.
Thank you, Michaela.
Yep.
Do we have any questions or comments, Michaela? So it, from my listening of it, it sounds a lot of it's focused on our undergraduate population that are on campus primarily. Are there any efforts for the grad students to be pulled out of this or for folks that are in Harper College or McHenry College?
I don't think that we are specifically focusing only on undergrads when we are on campus. We right now, the information that's going out, it's going to some of the general messaging. So if the students are at Harper College, they might receive it. The events we're doing on campus in person, that's a little bit harder for the students. But I think whether it's graduate student or undergrad, they are all welcome and invited. So,
yep.
Well, thank you.
Yep. Did you have that other poster you wanted to?
Oh, that's going to be part of the next presentation.
All right. Well, thank you, Michaela, for sharing that. Next up is NIU's Truth, Racial Healing and Transformation Center in the Real Talk Conference. And we'll have Jade Silva Tovar, Tara Kristoff, and Michaela Holtz.
Sure. Awesome. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jade Silva Tovar. I use she, her, ella pronouns. I'm the Assistant Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Part of our partnership and role is working with our colleagues in student affairs to enact the NIU Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Center work. And as part of that work, it is a center that we have in partnership, a center in our hearts, as my colleague likes to say. It's not a physical space, but it really is enacting the pillars of the Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation work across the institution. And this is a partnership with AACNU that we've been an institutional partner for over the past couple of years. This past May, several of us attended a national conference to really enact what will be the upcoming goals over the next couple of years for NIU in our Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Center work. And so really aligning with the pillars of advancing the framework of narrative change, understanding our lived experiences and how that impacts our everyday life and how we work, act, and teach across campus, racial healing and relationship building, and understanding this false narrative about a racial hierarchy and unpacking what that really means and the impacts and effects that that has on every single person within our society. Also looking at separation, law, and economy. What have been the policies and procedures that have caused systematic barriers and how we can enact change not only at NIU but in the communities that we live and work. And part of this work and really for you all is if you're interested, and we'll be creating a committee over this next year of individuals to work with us in designing and building what our goals will be over the next couple of years. And my colleagues will later talk in our presentation about the additional action items. One of them is a key effort, which if you attended last year, was our Real Talk conference. And so I'll turn it over to my colleague, Michaela, to talk a little bit more about the conference for this year.
Hello again. So I am excited to talk to you about the Real Talk conference and just share a little bit more of the details. The theme of the second annual conference is opening pathways to embrace our community. And we are actually partnering with outreach and engagement and regional development engagement roundtable group to promote our conference, but also promote an executive in residence workshop that they are hosting a day before. And it's essentially, we're promoting it as the Real Talk conference, pre-conference workshop. And so we don't have it on a slide. So I don't know if Pat can swing to that flyer. It's a workshop titled Designing Engagement for Equity, Building Inclusive Community Engagement with Human-Centered Design. So if you're interested to join us for Dr. Jim Woodall presentation. It will be all day on Thursday, October 24th in Altgeld Auditorium, and you are welcome to join for a half day or spend the entire day with us. And then October 25th is where we are hosting our Real Talk conference. And so we can go back to the PowerPoint. Yes. one before. So the important note is that all NIU students, staff, and faculty are free to attend. We are charging and inviting non-NIU affiliate students and community members or instructors. And so the information on the cost, it's on a website, but it's $199 for our faculty, and then non-NIU faculty and community members, and then $99 for students. We're also at this time accepting proposals. We've gone through a first review of proposals and selected some for the conference. But if you are just finding out about this and you really would like to be part of our conference, please feel free to submit a proposal. You have until September 17th. And the registration actually is open. Is something that you can do right now. So if you would like to secure that date, please feel free to register. It's a full day of sessions. And in the next slide, I'll get to talk about some really exciting keynote speakers we're bringing on. So our featured speakers include Ashley Mann Lofthouse, who is the president and CEO of Core Collective, that will open our conference with a land acknowledgement ceremony. We'll have a morning speaker, Marisa Miyakanda Cummings, who is the senior advisor for the Administration for Native Americans. Her keynote will be followed by a series of consecutive workshops. And then we're bringing in for our lunch keynote, number one New York Times bestseller author, Ajema Oluo, who you might have are familiar with, who has published the book So You Want to Talk About Race, and then just this year released a new book called Be a Revolution: How Everyday People Are Fighting Oppression and Changing the World, and How You Can Too. So we're excited to have her come to campus, and also I think I have some books that she will be signing for us as well. Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tara Kristoff, and as I told everyone in a meeting this morning, today's my 29th day as an employee of NIU, and so I'm excited to meet all of you. One of the things that we do at the Social Justice Education Unit is we do something called Give Circles, which means growing through inclusive vulnerability and empathy. The goal of these Give Circles, it feeds from the framework that Jade had talked about earlier, which is truth, racial healing, and transformation. And the goal of these Give Circles is to really build connection with one another by telling each other's lived experiences, and also by sharing with each other where we come from, you know, what we do, what we've experienced. And the goal is to really build community, not only in your department, but in your team, with your classroom, with students. So we are more than willing to come and do Give Circles with you. Also, we're looking for Give Facilitators. So if you're interested in learning how do I create a more inclusive environment in my classroom, in my department, in my team, in my unit, then become a facilitator, and that will help you do that as well. So thank you.
And now, if there are any questions for us.
I know I attended the Real Talk conference last year, and I think it was a wonderful event. I've been a part of the planning committee for that, and I really am looking forward to hopefully seeing a number of the faculty senators there, as well as faculty, staff, and students from across campus join. I just think there's a real opportunity to engage in learning and engage in humanity with each other in these moments. And I think it's really well done thing. So I do hope folks come. So thank you all for your work on this.
Thank you. We will also be creating some materials. So if you would like to use this as an opportunity for students to engage in the classroom as an assignment, we would have that available to faculty members to embed into your classroom environment.
I have a question. My name is Carol Sumner, and I'm Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer. Can you give an idea of the kinds of topics that might be available through the workshops? Are there some that are specifically tailored towards faculty? I think that might be of particular interest for this group, or if there are topics that you're looking for that might also help in your solicitation. But I really appreciate all the work that you all are doing.
Great question, Dr. Sumner. So if you all don't know, that's my supervisor. Some of the, we, based off of last year's feedback that we received that faculty attend, we will designate within the conference workshops which sessions would be available for faculty members, that would basically an audience. Who would be the primary audience? We've asked those that are submitting the presentations to indicate that, as well as the level. We had some folks that, you know, the conference, we've all been to conferences, and sometimes the description and the title are not what actually happens and occurs in that. And so this year we will have that of who the session audience is and the level of learning and understanding. And so some of those topics include in some of the proposals that we've received are from community members of action and arts and being able to share stories through the arts. We've received a couple that were on being able to really understand racial healing and empathy and how to do so in a way that is a really centered around having a common and shared humanity. Some of the sessions that we are looking for and would be of interest is really understanding law, policy, and acting change. I think is really important and pivotal of what is my focus in being able to do that, and how do I become a change agent as we look at humanizing this work and thinking about this idea concept of a racial hierarchy as we think about polarization and topics related to how do we come in kind of thinking about our common humanity and having conversations to move forward as a society.
Just thought of something else that might be of interest to this group. So grad students are welcome to present as well. And part of this year's conference that is new and addition is also a poster session. So if you have students who you have worked with that maybe have done work around this topic and maybe specific to discipline, and they would like to share a poster or present a workshop, it is open to students as well.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you so much. Up next is item 9, our consent agenda. You'll see items A through G. So this is an important part of helping ensure our committees and our councils are staffed up, that we fill roles and responsibilities. You'll see in the consent agenda, there's an approval of Karen Wedby to serve as the Faculty Senate Vice President, Farrell Bryan to serve as the Faculty Senate Parliamentarian. The standing committee membership is on page 8 for the various committee membership across those bodies I had shared earlier. The University Advisory Committee to the Board of Trustees, and that's confirming Thomas Kaczynski to serve for a 3-year term. The approval of the nomination of the School of Theater and Dance Professor Mark Makaranos and Department of Finance Professor Yuan Chan to serve on the Library Advisory Committee. To have Karen Wedby serve on the Board of Trustees Professorship Award Selection Committee, and to approve Teresa Rado from the College of Law to serve on the University Fee Advisory Committee. So again, this is just a package of appointments and seatings that helps us fulfill our duties here. So if I could have a motion to approve the consent agenda. Thank you, Pete, a second. George, thank you, second. All in favor of approving the consent agenda, please say aye. Opposed, and abstention. All right, the consent agenda is approved. That brings us to our one item for new business today, which is a proposed amendment to Faculty Senate Bylaws 3.1.1, the composition of the steering committee. You'll find this on page 10 of the packet. So if you just virtually flip to the last page of the packet, you'll see what the proposed amendment language is. And since this is a first reading, there's no vote needed, and it's just informational, but that we will entertain any discussion afterwards. So I'll be doing the first reading. So the you'll see the proposed change is very minimal, but its intent, the intent of this change is to ensure the Faculty Senate Steering Committee includes representation from all constituencies without placing unnecessary and unfair burdens on particular faculty senators. So the current language says the chairs of all those standing committees are also expected to serve on the Faculty Senate Steering Committee. And this actually places a barrier, an unnecessary barrier on participation in roles. So what through conversation with the steering committee last year, it was determined that we add this clause that any chair of a standing committee can ask and has the right to ask to serve on this committee, but it is only if they so choose. This allows for, the hope is for more people to stand up to chair our standing committees. In the past, this requirement has served as a barrier where folks have not been able to commit to two Wednesdays, or actually three Wednesdays, the Faculty Senate, the steering committee, and that standing committee body. So with that, I will entertain any questions, comments, concerns.
McKee from Anthropology. I don't know how many we currently have on the steering committee. Is there any concern that we would have too few with this amendment? Is there any interest in opening to other faculty senators to fill that gap?
So this is not reducing the number of seats. So the intention by doing this is if somebody doesn't want to take that seat, we still staff up so there's representation across all colleges. So it wouldn't reduce the number of total seats. It would just allow us flexibility in who serves in those seats. And we ensure all colleges are represented to the best of our ability. So thank you. All right, so as this is a first reading, no other action needs to be taken. If you have any comments, concerns, or feedback, please do share them. We'll be bringing this back at our next Faculty Senate meeting for a second reading, and that will include a vote of the Faculty Senate body. In order to have that amendment pass, we will need 2/3 of members present, and then out of that, we need 2/3 of those present voting in the affirmative to pass it. We'll go over those rules next time, but do please try to come so we can hit quorum for that vote. So that moves us on to reports from standing committees. The first one up is our Faculty Advisory Council to the IBHE. Dr. Puckett has a report for us.
Good afternoon. I'm Tiffany Puckett. I'm an associate professor of law in the College of Law, and I'm the new NIU representative for the Faculty Advisory Council to Illinois Board of Higher Education. I just wanted to come and introduce myself and tell you about the charge of this committee. This is the position that was previously held by Linda Sabario, and she held it for a while, so I thank her for her service. And so I will be in this position this year. And pretty much the Faculty Advisory Committee to Illinois Board of Higher Ed, we serve as advisory committee. We talk about any issues that are significant of interest, things that are on the IBHE agenda for that month. We also give position statements to Illinois Board of Higher Ed when they request them or when it's a particular issue that we would like to talk about. So I will be representing Northern Illinois University on this committee. This is a council that is represented by 36 members, the 12 public universities, the 12 community colleges, and then 12 private institutions. When we meet, it's typically a full day meeting, and we break out in different working groups. Those working groups include mental health, prior learning assessment, higher ed funding, technology in higher education, early college and equity. Each college would host a particular meeting. This coming meeting is going to be hosted by University of Illinois Chicago on September 20th. And also at this meeting, we break up at some point during the day in different caucuses. So the public institutions will have a meeting to talk about issues of concerns for public institutions. The private institutions will have a conversation amongst themselves, and then the community colleges will have a meeting together as well. I will report back monthly to Faculty Senate about what we talked about and things that are important that are going to be in front of the Illinois Board of Higher Ed. If you have any questions, you have access to my email. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany. Yeah, does anybody have any questions for Tiffany?
Thank you.
All right, next up is item B, University Advisory Committee to the Board of Trustees. I will kick it off, and then Felicia or others that were there can add on if there's stuff that I miss. But for those who have not heard my spiel before, I do highly recommend folks join those Board of Trustees special meeting days or full Board of Trustee meeting days, and you can do that virtually. There really is a lot of information that goes on. There's reports, presentations, discussions, and important decisions that are core and fundamental to the health of the university that are discussed and made at those meetings. Even just reading through the reports gives you a sense of the types of topics. I would highly recommend folks take some time to do that. The Board of Trustees had their committee meeting today on August 22nd. In that meeting, there were updates on the search for the Dean of the College of Education. There was also an update that Provost Ellis Piper referenced about the HLC visit and our successful reaccreditation for 10 years. The Board of Trustees received reports on state legislation and conditions in the state, including the recently approved state budget and what that means for NIU, how that affects our budget situation. We also got updates on the Commission on Equitable Public University Funding and insights on what that might look like in the upcoming legislative year. And we also received information and updates about from the federal government on legislation and conversation activities going on in DC. We were introduced to our new Vice President of RIPS, Dr. Makarski, who will be meeting with us and coming to us at our next Faculty Senate meeting in October. We received a presentation from faculty members, which is one of the kind of the routines of the Board of Trustees, is elevating the role faculty play on campus and the high quality research that is going on across campus. So the Board of Trustees sees what's going on and what faculty contribute. At the Facilities Audit Compliance and Operations Committee, we heard reports related to NIU's past audits about the financial situation of the university, as well as good conversation about what that means for this upcoming year related to efforts on campus. The board did approve an initial investment in a campus energy improvement plan, which is expected to be revenue neutral and improve campus energy use. And that's through a variety of strategies, including increased efficiency, installation of solar generation, water conservation efforts, and other efforts related to that. And this is an initial investment. They'll be considering a broader and bigger investment to campus to continue that work going forward at the full Board of Trustees meeting here in September. Is there anything to add? Or they also talked about the value add of emeritus, faculty emeritus, of tenure and promotion and things like that were also elevated for the board to consider. All right, the next two reports. We have no report from the Baccalaureate Council or from the Faculty Rights and Responsibilities Committee. I'll be giving the Social Justice Committee a report as that group has not yet met this year, but I'd like to just summarize what last year's efforts. So the Social Justice Committee submitted recommendations related to improving our last year. They submitted recommendations related to improving the tenure promotion bylaws, which were included as part of that package that was passed at Faculty Senate in February 2024. The Faculty Senate Social Justice Committee also worked throughout the year to identify priorities for this academic year, as well as going into the future, kind of a reset and a look forward about the work to be done in that group to be handed off to the new Faculty Senate Social Justice Committee members of this year. As part of that year, or part of that effort, the Social Justice Committee worked with ADEI and the Provost's Office to take a look at progress related to the initial recommendations from the Faculty Senate Social Justice Committee's draft report back in March of 2021. You'll be able to find that report available that gives an overview of the progress towards the 8 recommendations plus the 5 priority recommendations. That will be posted to the Faculty Senate website. The conclusion of that report highlighted that substantive and significant progress has been made across campus. And while sometimes it may not seem that way, may seem like it's a slow and snail progress, there is actual progress that can be pointed to and efforts that have been taken to move campus forward in along various vectors. However, there is still much work that remains at NIU to be done related to the recommendations as they were made in 2021, as well as those recommendations that of this new work that needs to be done going forward. There's need to continue to address topics that have emerged as priorities since that report in 2021, and there's a need to continue NIU's progress towards being an inclusive, innovative community that's committed to excellence and opportunity for all of NIU. And so that Social Justice Committee we'll begin meeting, I believe it's next week or in 2 weeks, and we'll start doing that work of the committee over the course of the academic year. All right, that brings us to item F, which is the Faculty Senate UC Rules, Governance, and Elections Committee, and we have a report from Emily McKee. So thank you.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me if I stand up here? Good. So I'm Emily Key. I'm serving this year again as the Faculty Senate Liaison for the Rules, Governance, and Elections Committee. There's one item that we're going to be dealing with today, and that's elections for the 2024-25 hearings panel. So the hearing panel is used for appeals based on Faculty Senate bylaws, Article 10.3, regarding due process for faculty dismissal issues, and also for review of allegations regarding violation of academic freedom based on Faculty Senate bylaws, Article 14. So for this election, we're going to be using a Qualtrics ballot, which Pat will email out. The ballot will, and there'll be directions there as well, but the ballot will contain the names of 34 tenured faculty members selected randomly, and you'll be asked to vote for no more than 20. So that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Emily. We have no report from the Student Government Association. Up next is IMH Operating Staff Council. Do we have a report? I didn't see Natasha, but I don't know. I don't think so. So no report from Operating Staff Council, and no report from our SPS Council either. So that brings us to item 12, which is informational items. You'll see items A through O will be on there throughout the whole year. Those won't change. You'll see our annual reports are hyperlinked within the online packet or the electronic packet that was provided with you. And then item Q, you see the Faculty Senate meeting dates. If you haven't already put them in your calendars, please do so and make sure you attend. And that will conclude our meeting, our agenda for today, which and that brings us to item 13, which is adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? Pete, a second. Thank you, second. And all in favor of adjourning the meeting, please signify by saying aye. All right, thank you.